Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
From unsolved mysteries to unexplained phenomena, from comedy gold to relationship fails, Amazon Music's got the most ad-free top podcasts included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app today.
My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, a podcast where I, your host, try to give you some tips on how you can explain all this weird, wild, crazy conspiracy stuff to the people you love most. Because that's what I've been trying to do for the past 10 years with no success.
I've been telling everybody that our government is shady. But every time I do, my family thinks I'm crazy. The hollow earth, UFOs, aliens invading. Fluoride in the water, they swear skies daily. When I talk about these things, they think I'm crazy. There's no escaping anymore, the evil that we're facing. Illuminati mind control, they're sacrificing babies. The end of days, but anyways, my family thinks I'm crazy.
What, they don't want to listen to you? No, they don't want to listen. They don't want to hear it. They're just like, oh, here we go, Mark. Off again with your
Mark being Mark again.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the thing about podcasts is when you're on the air, and it's like therapy, you know. If I can't talk to my family about this stuff, I'll talk to you, Matt, and all our listeners.
You know, just tell your whole podcast.
Yeah. So who are we talking about today, Matt?
If you've got skin in any game which is told to you over media, you just got fucked. And this can go with the Charlie Church story. So you can go and look at the Charlie Church story, and particularly if you're like, I already know, like this, I smelled this a mile away, that this is 9/11 all over, this is King Kill 333, this is like a controlled story. And then you're like, okay, well, which controlled story? And they're putting out one narrative. It's like, oh, no, this was all AI generated. The rings when the fingers are jumping all around, and the letters when the guy's shirt is jumping all around. And there's like all of this stuff, which is like, no, this is AI generated.
You just heard today's guest, the Susquehanna Alchemist, who joins me, Mystic Mark, here on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy this conversation with my good friend, Mike Wan. There we go, folks. We're in it. The new live Patreon edition of the show. You're hearing a glimpse of this on the free feed. Sign up on Patreon and get it live, raw, unfiltered. My best podcast friend, who I've done our own podcast with, titled Your Handbook for the Apocalypse. You guys know him as the Susquehanna Alchemist. He's joining me yet again for what is becoming Live at 5 with Mystic Mark, although we are a little late. That's fine. We had to catch up. But it's always a pleasure to talk with my good friend Mike. So, Mike, thank you so much for joining me again. Last time you were on the show, we covered some of what you've been up to. But so much happens in these lives of ours, in this dream reality that we're living in, that there's ever more things to talk about. So welcome back, and thank you again for joining me.
Mark, it's always a pleasure to be here. So I want to ask you a question. You said it was that new? Was that intro brand new? And this like Live at 5, is this a new endeavor for you?
Yeah, we did a test run the other night that went well. At first, I thought that myself and another guest, but
okay.
This is the official first one because this is not a test. I know it's going to work.
So. All right. Well, then that's quite an honor to be the first one. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Yes, of course. Yeah, it's a result of working with the hilarious Kurt Metzger. Now that I have access to StreamYard and I'm paying for it each month, it's like, why not go live myself? I shouldn't just use it to work with Kurt. I should use it for my own podcast. So here we are, live at 5 with Mystic Mark and Mike Wan. And yeah, thank you for joining me again. I don't know exactly how this whole Patreon live stream thing works. At first, I thought it was equivalent to an Instagram live, which is why the test run was a little concerning. But then afterwards, it did turn out that StreamYard recorded a copy of the conversation. So let's hope that happens again. I'm sure it will, hence why this isn't a test. But either way, I've been working on a lot of strange stuff that you felt like we should get into. Normally, I save talking about the merch for the little intro segments, but it's good to talk about it on the podcast and talk about where it's leading to, because there is a real important message, I think, behind it. It's part of why I got into making my own merch for the podcast. And so far, it's going well. I've sold shirts to people in the United States and two other countries. So we're international at this point.
You're an international
clothier. Yeah.
So can you show the good people who are watching this what you showed me before we started recording?
Yeah, of course. So I got my Mystic Mark medicine bag, which this is kind of like the where the story starts. A good friend of mine, follow her at Strange Desires on Instagram. Her and I were working at the Brimfield Antique Flea Market, and she saw my medicine bag and suggested that I make a pumpkin bag, which I then did very quickly to her surprise and showed her like the next day. And this is the prototype. I've been showing it off everywhere I go. Anytime I have an opportunity, I show it off.
Question. Am I the only person from the people who you've showed it to that thought it was like a really like, you know, nice handmade trick-or-treating bag? Or did other people think that as well?
No, your impression tracks with others. Yeah, people like it for that reason.
Your face on that response was priceless.
Well, let me tell
and then you.
You
showed me the I mean, it looks great, and I have a personal real affinity because I've made bags by hand, right. And I dig that. I dig bags and I dig making things by hand. So like watching you do that, like scratches like a sentimental itch inside Uncle Mike's heart that you can't imagine.
Well, and I know from meeting you in person and seeing your place and the spots you've lived, like you take great care to, you know, cultivate an atmosphere with your, not only your decor, but the things you wear and the things you carry with you. So yeah, you're an artist, you're a craftsman, and you have that eye for that kind of stuff. So appreciate that, you know, real, recognized, real, as some would say. And yeah, I was certainly inspired by you to make my own stuff after our conversation we had a couple weeks ago. So yeah, no, it's all tracking into a good direction with the merch. I don't know that the average My Family Thinks I'm Crazy listener would want a pumpkin handbag, but that's the thing. Like, I'm Mystic Mark. I'm out there with the people. I'm meeting all sorts of different people. People who probably, you know, they hear the name of my podcast and they think, who is this nutcase? I'll probably never listen to it, but I'm so charming that they'll buy a pumpkin handbag from me. So that's where the rubber meets the road with the merch.
So I'm the one who asked that we begin our conversation, our recorded conversation, with that. And I did not tell you why I wanted to begin this way, but I kind of think a few moves ahead. So you mentioned that your next step was to get a Singer sewing machine, like a retro Singer sewing machine, and you're going to start working with that. Yeah. So I want to ask you a question. So do you understand the significance of the company Singer in like the linear timeline of events that have brought us to Amazon having quantum 3D, printers that manufacture everything in regional facilities. Like Singer fits somewhere along the lines of where things were not automated to where they are now. Do you, like, what's your understanding of Singer in that context?
I am new to understanding their history as a company. As far as I know, they are, you know, mainly known for their sewing machines.
Well, they're definitely known for their sewing machines.
I believe we talked about something like this very briefly, because when I moved into the apartment I'm living in now, we found out that one of the technologies that went into modern sewing machines was actually invented in the building that I live in now by a guy whose name was Elias Howe. I think he invented a type of stitch or a way that the sewing machine stitched a fabric in a new way. So I don't think he was connected with Singer, though.
So okay. So you got to like think about like this relationship which humanity has with textiles. We've got a rich, rich relationship with textiles, particularly because we're not covered in fur. And I'm a big proponent of public nudity, you know, I mean, like, so it's like, I don't think we need textiles, but there's also a, like, it is fun to be dressed and there are times you need to be dressed when it's cold out. So we've got this relationship in this human experience of clothing or textiles, and we can look at it probably most, or we could think about it like in terms of like the traders and the bazaars from the Mediterranean area and the traditional Persian rugs. Like these are all like hints to humanity's relationship with textile. Okay. And so that relationship with textile at some point was very, very like handsy, like just from like looms and how things would be made. And there has been a movement, you know, like let's just talk about the Phoenician traders and all the looms and the textiles they sold to all the way to like the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. And so if we can begin to think about the Industrial Revolution in this linear path as it relates to the transhumanist movement. So like this is all like steps, like it all goes linearly. Our relationship with textiles becoming automated is part of it. And again, I'm saying this is as like a clear discernment of how we're told like these changes happen. And I just want to point out like the significance. This isn't a judgment. This isn't like, oh, let's go back to looming days. Like you do whatever you want. But like, let's understand how and where we are right now. So that being said, sewing machines and industrial sewing machines were a thing. And then eventually sewing machines became something that was in everybody's home. In the same way, like computers, you know, the story of computers begins with ENIAC, and that was 1945. And it was 30 years that computers were only things that were done on an industrial or a corporate or an organizational level. But in the 1970s, then computers, they began marketing them as personal computers and people had computers in the home. That is a modus operandi. That is a texture. That is like an arc. And that arc happened with sewing machines. And Singer is the motherfuckers who brought the sewing machines to everybody. Like Singer is huge. Okay. So like without getting into like, well, what happens when like, you know, people stop sewing by hand and blah, blah, blah. Like, yes, all of that occurred, but that's not where I'm going with this. Like, I've got a very clear path in my mind where I want to go and take this story. So the Singer Sewing Machine Manufacturing Company in like the late 1800s, they were like huge, and that family became like gilded wealth type of family, like equivalent to like modern day billionaires, let's say, like a really, really wealthy family. And the Singer family, there were two partners that started the Singer Sewing Machine Company. It was the Singer family, and then there was the Clark family. And so the first generation Clark family person who was part of the Singer fortune, I want to say it was three generations. So it was his grandson or it was his great grandson. who is the man who's responsible for bringing the Baseball Hall of Fame to the River Source at the Susquehanna River in Cooperstown, New York. And we've talked so much about the Susquehanna mystery over the past years that when Singer just kind of came naturally in our conversation, when you mentioned by name, I want a Singer, like a retro Singer sewing machine, I'm like, all right, I know where we're going, because this story goes even deeper. But I want to pause for a moment, and I want to hear like maybe any of your thoughts as it relates to the industrialization of textiles, the relationship humanity has with textiles. I would suggest that you're tapped into something very, very ancient in the human family, because textiles just speaks to you. It came out of nowhere. And then also how that can tie in to like maybe any questions you have about the Singers and the Baseball Hall of Fame and other like occultic implications as it relates to the shaping of humanity, because that's what this is all about. If you're speaking, you're on mute.
Sorry.
No worries.
Yeah, something I felt drawn to for sure. And yeah, when my aunt offered the Singer to me, I was like, yeah, absolutely. So, but no, as far as your question goes, my thoughts on it is excitement. I'm excited to get more informed on how it all works and where even our textiles come from, because I've even noticed a difference in wearing organic cotton as opposed to just regular 100% cotton, and certainly a difference wearing cotton as opposed to polyester, which I pretty much threw out all my polyester clothes when I found out what polyester actually is.
Mm-hmm. Wait till you start playing around with some other natural fibers. That's just my thought. So,
well, linen too is like what, the more higher vibration than cotton, they would say, as far as natural fibers go. Like
linen, rayon, hemp. Hemp is probably, I would say, the better of a fabric comparison to like the next level from cotton. But the point I'm really trying to like paint right now isn't so much like, you know, Singer and the history of sewing, as much as it is to like really point out this relationship we have as humans, the human relationship with the automation of how we live and this continuity of where we are now and how we got here. And the fact that there are certain like hand, you know, this fits this audience perfectly, but there are hands behind the scenes that literally do this, and they touch a lot of different things. So undoubtedly the normalizing of sewing away from hand sewing in the home changed certain things with how humanity relates in a very, very practical way with machines. Like, that's a thing. But then this correspondence between the Clark family is really significant, in my opinion, because we can see first from the original founder of the Clark family, founder of the Singer company, is that he is also the real estate developer of the Dakota apartment complex or apartment building in New York City. And if there's anything which is significant right now in the current narrative, it's the role of New York City real estate developers. And we could see like that's always been a thing. And when he did the Dakota, it was a big deal in the 1800s. They called it the Dakota I won't even go down that path right now. But what I want to do is say that the Dakota from the very beginning to like current contemporarily has this really, really strange relationship with, you know, the other side or with like dark ritual magic and with like public executions and stuff like that. Like that's where John Lennon was killed. That's where like scenes from Ghostbusters was filmed on the rooftop of it. This is where Rosemary's Baby was filmed. So like all, and that's not even getting into the history of the weird shit that actually happened there. The point I'm trying to bring into this is like the Clark family has this kind of like backstory relationship with weird geomancy through buildings and place and stories. Like something happens with their buildings. And we can go from the Dakota, which was I think in the 1880s, to when the Baseball Hall of Fame was actually built and created, which may have been in the 1940s or 30s. And that Baseball Hall of Fame has, like, we can see what the family business is. And what the family business is this understanding of shaping reality, of shaping culture, and this connection with kind of occultic architecture, geomancy in place. That's like law, like I've talked about that before. This is where I want to go with this right now. Is this is some really interesting and exciting news, which I'm going to go and share with you. There is someone who, I think it began with like a Starboard session, and then it kind of grew from there, like over the last maybe 7 or 8 months with someone who I met through there, who's familiar with your work and my work and probably a whole bunch of other people's work, but who is particular, who's both an artist and particularly drawn to the Susquehanna mystery, who just started diving back into like the research of the Susquehanna mystery in a way which I never did. Like, you know, that was a period in my life where I was actively doing research, and then, you know, I've gone elsewhere. And this person has gone in deep and has pulled out stuff I cannot imagine. And so a lot of what I talk about, like when you and I talk about, I start with two like very, very clear, strong tent stakes, like stories that are like objective, and we can go and see all of these things that are like happen. Like the Dakota apartment building was developed by this guy in this year and this family, like. And then I fill in the gaps. Like, that's what I do. I kind of tell stories. I'm like, well, how could this be connected? How does this make sense? This person like actually did the history, and they actually have named the names, and they show this history. And this is why I'm excited to share this with you right here, Mark, is connecting baseball's Albert Spalding, theosophy, Joseph Smith, the founders of New Haven, Connecticut, John Smith, all of these characters that you and I have talked about, that I personally have intuited that there was a connection, or I could see the shadows of connection. But this person's like, oh no, this is the history. Here's the books and here are the receipts. So right now, this story or this deepening, this more specific, this more tangible level of the Susquehanna mystery is still being kind of like formulated because it's so big and wide reaching. And I'm not the one who's doing it. So I'm just like getting like the snapshots of look what I found today and look what I found out to yesterday. But I can see what's forming. And at some point in the future, it's rare that I really like to make predictions, but this is going to be a prediction. At some point in the future, we're going to be on this program, and we're going to talk these details through. And, you know, I think we got some good stuff to uncover, which is going to touch a lot of and connect a lot of different hot buttons.
I'm excited based on what you said before we started the show to see where this all connects to the really contemporary stuff. But yeah, it's a tangled web. Very strange. I lost track of some of the things you were saying because as I was sharing the live link, I was losing good connection and I missed some of what you just said. So excuse my lack of a good follow-up. But yeah, it's definitely something that I'd love to see more of them. And you're very vague about who this person is, but I'd love to see the fruits of their work when it's available. Is it available already, this person you're referring to? Okay. So it's cool. Okay. Interesting.
So that being said, whereas I was thinking what would make the most amount of sense, because what's the calendar date today? Today's Gregorian, September 15th, 2025.
The 16th.
It's the 16th. All right. Like there's a story which is going around in the airways that certainly is holding the same level of mass cultural weight and attention, lined up with a whole bunch of other things, like which would imply like there are some changes which may be coming to the rules and regulations of what they say you're allowed or not allowed to do. So I'd like to talk about that with you because it's so pressing of a time, and I want to hear what your thoughts are, because I certainly have my thoughts.
Cool. Let's hear it.
So what do you think I'm talking about?
Not the slightest clue. Maybe the things we talk about on
Charlie social Church.
Media. Charlie Church? You mean Kirk?
Yeah, Kirk means church. Like that's Old Norse. So right. Charlie Church is Charlie, or Charlie Kirk is Charlie Church.
Charlie Church.
Charlie Church. King Kill 333, right?
Yeah. CC.
So you see, like we're seeing the same thing. So with that, like, you know, how from your perspective of like how you see the world and your role in terms of being a conduit of narrative and information to an open-minded audience, what's your take on this whole sort of Charlie Church story? Or do you have one?
I don't have one because I feel like it's really, in a lot of these cases, it's, you know, within a few weeks is when you hear everybody make up their mind. And I don't want to do that. I have had someone on the show recently and they explain how Israel's behind what's going on, which is, you know.
You think there's going to be a cultural impact because of this story?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm interested in. Because there's no way anyone knows what's going on, and we're going to go to that in a moment. But I'm just curious, like, what do you think that cultural impact could be? And again, like, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I'm like, let's banter a bit with this because we don't know. You know as much as I know.
Yeah, well, it's definitely polarizing from everything I've heard from everyone. Whether I was listening, you know, eavesdropping on a conversation in public, or just, you know, talking to my friends about this, it's very polarized. You know, you have people who are expressing, you know, relief that he's dead, and then people who are obviously very.
But how will it change culture? So I'll say 9/11. I'll give you a real example. Like, you couldn't go through the TSA. There was no TSA before 9/11. 9/11 invented the TSA. COVID made QR codes normalized. Like, those would be examples of like life changed. Life changed. Like, those are simplistic ones. But this is like quite literally, like, this is a turning point. The story doesn't matter. No one cares about Muhammad Atta anymore, whether they found his passport in the rubble. Like, no one cares anymore about like the whatever that project was the month before the COVID story was released. So the story, you're absolutely right. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, what matters is the advancement of the program. And so that to me is like where, like, if you want to have like real discussion as a human being, like in this time and space, it's like, well, where does this lead? What can this do? And it's my opinion. I don't know where it's going to go, but they're definitely telling you, they're foreshadowing, like, this is a turning point. And we've been definitely, you know, on some level, or it seems like it, a turning point fulcrum, a pivot point for some period of time. And is this the proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back? And then what does that look like afterwards? Does that break out into civil war? Does that break out into, like, I don't know, like something with AI? I can't think, you can't separate AI from this. But those are the type of questions and thoughts which I think are meaningful right now and can hold, like, you know, can allow people to also step out of that dream.
Now, we had an episode not too long ago with a very interesting character who broke down how the Kent State massacre was, you know, basically a hoax, and there was all these different things that didn't add up, like every other mass trauma event. So it was interesting, you know, the timing of that. Obviously, that was a month before the Kirk thing, the church thing. And but
it's kind of called Charlie Church. Kind of changes it a little bit.
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you, it does seem like the universities and the atmosphere on the universities is very much like, good, we're glad he was killed. At least the ones that are, you know.
At least those are the stories that are being propagated. Yeah. Right? Like, you're going to have an emotion. If you're a viewer, you're going to have an emotional response no matter what. Like, but I want to go back. I think you made a brilliant connection to Kent State.
Okay.
To Kent State. Because you're right. That tie, like, that the episode you're talking about, on a certain level, like, had no contextual relevance a month ago, other than the fact that it was, like, trivially interesting. You're like, okay, here's one more example of, like, a bullshit story, albeit that's going to be really still significant to anyone who probably lives in Kent or anyone who's still connected, like, personally to it.
Right.
But it is very, it does bring up those same archetypical qualities of, like, which would also go back to the first real shooter story in mainstream culture, which was the dude who was up in the clock tower at University of Texas at Austin. Like, that's when the genie was let out of the bottle, if you will. And right. Those three, like, those were turning points. So that's exactly what I meant by, like, Kent State was a turning point. Like, things happened. Life changed in the culture. This is different in certain ways, but if it matches and meets so many other similarities to other events which were turning points, well, then it would be fair to assume, or it would make sense to assume that, like, yeah, this probably will, you know, a couple years down the road, you're going to look back and be like, oh, yeah, this is when that happened, or this is when we began to move in this direction.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. First and foremost, we got to give it up to BrainSupreme.co, keeping me sharp, keeping me at my best here recording this top tier, top ranked, amazing podcast brought to you by BrainSupreme.co. Listen, if you need to up your game and you think microdosing is what you're missing, go to BrainSupreme.co. Use the promo code CRAZY at checkout. But before you make your purchase, make sure you get informed and learn. Brain Supreme has a ton of great resources on their website. And Adam Schell, the CEO and founder, has joined me on this podcast multiple times, so you can rest assured that this is a trusted product that I use, that Adam uses. He vouches for it. Tons of customers can't get enough. I've ordered more. I love it. The Black Stack is my favorite. But use the promo code CRAZY to check it out today. See what the Black Stack can do for you. BrainSupreme.co, promo code CRAZY. Next up, we've got Vibe Med X. That's V-I-B-E-M-E-D-X. Vibe Med X. Listen, if you're just hearing about Shilajit, you're in luck. This is the synchronicity you were waiting for. Shilajit is an adaptogenic component that is vital to your health. In Asia, they call it the medicine, the vitamins of the gods. Shilajit, it's a resinous material found in the mountains, okay? And this isn't some third world nonsense. Our man Ron goes straight to the purest source of Shilajit, somewhere deep in the Russian wilderness. So if you want to get a taste of what Shilajit can do for your health, check out VibeMedX.com and use the promo code CRAZY at checkout. All right. Now, just a heads up, folks, we are going to be live on the Patreon weekly. When I'm interviewing guests, it's going to go live on the Patreon. So stay tuned. Sign up to the Patreon. If you're on the $5 tier or above, you'll get access to those live streams and all of the video content that I produce here on the show.
If you like the audio version of the show, stick around. You can also get an ad-free, uncensored version of the audio on the Patreon, patreon.com/MFTIC. Get that RSS feed and plug it into whatever app you're already using to listen to the show, so you can listen to the show while you support the show. What a deal. Thanks, folks. We'll be right back in a moment. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. I'm your host, Mystic Mark. And I want to bring attention to one of my favorite sponsors. That's Mood. Mood thinks cannabis should be accessible, affordable, convenient, and transparent. But most importantly, they believe, and I believe, in supporting the American farmers who make all of this possible. That's right, made in America. Like the outfit that I have on, my t-shirt, my Hard Enco jeans, all 100% made in America. So why would the cannabis I'm smoking be any different? That's right, Mood created an online source for 100% federally legal cannabis grown on small, pesticide-free American farms. You can't beat that, folks. Go American, go local if you can. Keep it within our borders. Support this country. And I'm going to support you by giving you 20% off your entire purchase for first-time buyers only. Just use the promo code CRAZY at mood.com. That's mood.com, MOOD.com. I'm telling you, folks, Mood stands behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee. And as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the code CRAZY. So head to mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. Remember to use the promo code CRAZY at checkout to save 20% off your order of American cannabis. Go and check it out today at mood.com, and we'll be right back to this episode in just a moment. Hey, everybody, this is Mystic Mark, the host of My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, and I gotta pay my bills. So here I am compromising my integrity to tell you about Hims. And listen, you don't have to compromise your routine with Hims. You don't have to take time out of your busy schedule. Just do it all online from the comfort of your home. What are you doing? You're getting treated for erectile dysfunction. Why do you have erectile dysfunction? I don't know. Maybe there are other issues in your life that you should address first before going straight to pharmaceuticals. But if you're there and you've tried everything else and you really just want to make your lady happy, which I'm a guy, I get it, man. We got to make the ladies happy. That's how the world goes around. When women are happy, the world keeps turning. So get that edge you need in the bedroom with Hims. Use the promo code CRAZY at checkout. That's hims.com/crazy for your free online visit. hims.com/crazy to get simple online access to personalized, affordable care for ED, hair loss, weight loss, and more. Visit hims.com/crazy. Here comes the fun part. Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information. Doo-doo-doo. Thank you, Hims. Now I can go buy more weed and smoke it, stoner, dude. Just kidding. I'm literally paying my electric bill, my insurance bill. I'm dying over here. Support me on Patreon, patreon.com/MFTIC.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It must be ironic, too, that, you know, the mouthpiece of conservatism, according to the left, is coming out of Austin these days, right? With Joe Rogan and the whole culture being anchored in Austin, which, according to our mutual friend Emily Moyer, who was on a previous podcast I used to run, she talked about how the Austin is the city with the violet crown and there's all these strange things going on there. So, yeah, it's kind of odd that that's the first school shooting. This is something we've talked about on previous episodes, the whole UT Austin massacre.
So, from a Hollywood context, when I say the name Mike Myers, what comes to mind?
Nightmare on Elm Street, right? Or isn't there a horror?
That's Michael Myers.
Okay.
Halloween.
Oh, Halloween. Thank you. Yeah, right. I knew it
was Michael Myers. Right. Now, who's Mike Myers?
He's a comedian. Do I make you horny, baby? That guy.
And what's the name of that movie?
Austin Powers.
Austin Powers. Motherfucker. Yeah. Now we're starting to get somewhere. So let's go a little bit deeper. In Austin Powers, who is the good guy? In the movie Austin Powers was the good guy. Yeah. Who was the bad guy?
The bad guy was the Mini-Me guy and his...
No,
his...
who's Mini-Me's father?
Right. Yeah, this guy.
Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil. What actor played Dr. Evil?
Oh, man. I don't know, but
Mike
I can...
Mike Myers.
Face. Right, he
Mike
played
Myers. All the
characters.
What actor played Austin Powers? Oh, Mike Myers.
Right. Yes,
Austin Powers. It's telling you right there. We're the good guy and the bad guy. We're playing both sides. I'm Mike Myers. I'm the funny comedian. I'm Michael Myers. I'm coming to get you with a knife. This shit doesn't just happen.
Right.
Okay? So let's go a little bit deeper about the role of Austin, because you are 100% right. Austin Powers, in the same way that Zoolander in 1997 was like, this is how MK Ultra techniques are used to control like the high fashion media, like Austin Powers then was another mea culpa. All of these movies from that time period, like in hindsight right now, would just... So, okay, Austin Powers, what do we learn about that? We learn that the spy and the bad guy, it's the same person, okay? And then we also learn this. What's the other thing which we learn? There is who did Dr. Evil become in the living movie, in the living dream that we experience as mainstream reality? What person have you seen? Who?
Anthony Fauci.
Close. I mean, I could see that.
I want to go and say there's someone
who is... Wow. An exact match. She just kind of came out of nowhere a handful of years ago. There we go.
Yeah.
Like, how the hell does Klaus Schwab look exactly like Dr. Evil and dress like Dr. Evil and literally says things which Dr. Evil said, like, you know, well, you're going to own nothing like it. Like, it is a parody of itself. Like, we're talking about what's sometimes called predictive programming, but this is a whole lot deeper than that. So we can see like this modern context is relative in the dreaming mind of what's happening. Klaus Schwab was replaced as the head of the World Economic Forum on October 15th of this past year. Okay. So a month ago, 30 days ago. And who they replaced him with was the CEO of BlackRock. For people who pay attention to shit like this, for people who are like, oh, the BlackRock's the worst company in the world. They own everything, they control everything, and BlackRock, and it goes back to the Kaaba in Saudi Arabia and Mecca and all of this sort of stuff. Like, when you go and you see that the head of BlackRock is now the head of the World Economic Forum, you either like lose your mind. Right? You're like, oh my God, it's all happening. This is it. Or you start laughing. You're like, this is so freaking funny. or you're like, I am so pissed that they're mocking at me. Like, these are all the emotions which could be anticipated for just that small set, which is paying attention on that level. And this is happening right now all across the board for anyone and everyone who is emotionally connected to like this, whatever the storyline is being put out there. Like, if you're not going to, for your uncle who doesn't like go to that level, he's going to lose his mind when they had the, like 2 weeks ago, if you remember this, two or three weeks ago, there was the shooting of from the trans woman in the Catholic school. And then all of a sudden they're saying, we're going to go and take away the, or threaten to take away the Second Amendment rights of anyone who's a trans person. So now the person who normally would be like a second right amendment, like, you know, we're going to fight for this no matter what, they typically have been positioned to be like, well, you know, gender is gender and trans movement is something I'm going to fight. And now they just got mind fucked because now they don't know where to stand. They're like, I don't know which way to go because they told me I got to feel this way and I got to feel that way. That's happening all across the board right now. Doesn't matter where you are. If you've got skin in any game, which is told to you over media, you just got fucked. And this can go with the Charlie Church story. So you can go and look at the Charlie Church story, and particularly if you're like, I already know, like this, I smelled this a mile away, that this is 9/11 all over. This is King Kill 333. This is like a controlled story. And then you're like, okay, well, which controlled story? And they're putting out one narrative. It's like, oh no, this was all AI generated. The rings on the fingers are jumping all around, and the letters on the guy's shirt is jumping all around. And there's like all of this stuff, which is like, no, this is AI generated. And then there's another story. It's like, no, this is Israel generated. You could go and see, this is where the guy shoots them. This is where they clean up all of the scenes before the state official investigators come in. And so now that's like in an argument. Which is it? Is it like it's an inside job, or it's an AI job, or the AI jobs? So like, if you're involved with this, if you got like any sort of this, like, you, like, I can figure this out, you're gonna get like chasing your tail no matter where you meet it. Like, that's where we are right now in this layer of the dream. And so the question is, it's like, you know, this is where I wanted to go in this whole sort of episode, is like this continuity of this manipulation and change within the human experience and within the human family and with machines and all that sort of stuff, just to bring us to the point of, this is where we are right now. No matter how hard you look into it, like, it's not going to make sense. And no matter how bad you want it to make sense, this is how you know that you want it to make sense, because you're going to defend tooth and nail your story. Any single person who is defending the story, it's because there's a part of them which is like, I need this to make sense because none of this makes sense, and I need something to make sense. And when I say none of this makes sense, I mean being here alive in a body in what they call Earth under the sky. Like, the only thing we can say for certain is like, this is not what it seems.
Yeah. Charlie Church. Wow, Mike, you're dropping bombs, dude. I was not prepared for this. You're like Tripoli right now.
So, all right, we'll bring it back a little bit. We'll bring it back a little bit. We'll bring it back to the movie stuff, because the movie stuff is built into this experience. And when I say this experience, I mean just what it means to be Mark, and like the inner world of Mark, and trying to make way in the outer world, and what it means to be Mike in my inner world and the outer world, and every single other person or human being who's watching this, like that, this experience of like just being alive. It is like you said, everything is connected. Like, everything in the experience is connected. And once we can begin to recognize that that is the part of the nature of this experience, even though we don't know what this experience is now we can begin to maybe have a little bit more fun with it. And for me, one of the fun ways of doing that is looking at how and why and the techniques and the examples of what Hollywood and storytelling and movies does in terms of consciousness and the creation of reality or the manipulation of reality, which is just as true as saying the creation of reality.
Well, and this is some of the things that are coming out now, is that there's backers that were pushing him towards a certain way, and good old Charlie Church, you know, he was just trying to stand up to big bad Israel. But in the back of my mind, anytime I hear Israel, I'm like, what's Israel? What's America? What's England? Like, you know, and this goes back to conversations we have all the time where it's like, exactly. What are these things? They're all just Dr. Evil putting a different costume on.
And the people are saying, like, well, let me get to like the structural foundation where I could stand on, where I could say, this is where I know that it's real, and this is where I want to take my stand. And as you know, and I know, is like, if as soon as you begin to really look deeply and question at any of these stories, like, they either begin to fall apart or there's just too many blind spots. Like, you can't know the whole thing. The only thing that you can actually say with absolute certainty is the fact that you're here and that you can have some control of where you're putting your attention and your thoughts. And then you're like, well, what is this? Like, and then you can begin to go and play a little bit more differently, and you can see it. You can see it differently. Like, to me, from my unique perspective, we all have unique perspectives. That CEO, BlackRock, World Economic Forum, switcheroo. And I'm not saying like these organizations don't exist, but like, that's just too much of a wink and a nod for there not to be like part of a master plan or a master storyline. Maybe that's a better way of saying it, but that correspondence with the world's biggest known ritual, Burning Man, right? Like, Burning Man happens the last week or so of August, and Burning Man, do you know where it takes place?
It takes place out in the desert in the land of enchantment, or is it in Arizona?
It's in Mexico, or Arizona, or California? It's in Nevada.
three out of four. Okay, so
do you know what the name of the city is, or what they call the city at least? No. It's called Black Rock City. Okay, yeah. So like a week before the big Burning Man effigy, right? No, the week before it begins, like, BlackRock, you know, change hands, BlackRock controls, World Economic Forum, all this sort of stuff.
Right.
And then there was the big story of, I don't know if you saw this, like if this popped up on your radar, but there was a homicide. There was a murder at this year's Burning Man.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that was like this would be bottom page of the bottom half of the Drudge Report. Like, that level of pumping into the public consciousness. Big enough story to make the Drudge Report, maybe not big enough story to be the headline. That's why they call it the headline. So apparently first recognized homicide in the Burning Man history. And it was really kind of hyped in the fact that the victim's name was not released for a period of time, and no one knows who did it. And for like 7 days there was all these stories about this person, and then eventually their name was released, and the murder happened 15 minutes after they lit the effigy of the Burning Man. Like, I don't know if you know, like, that's kind of like the arc of the event of the festival. It peaks, it climaxes, like, I think they're 9 days, and it's at the burning of a very large wooden effigy, which, you know, I'm just assuming everyone has some context of like Burning Man and Wicker Man and so forth. So this person, this murder, and they kept on saying like it was a grisly murder, pool of blood. They announce his name. Eventually they discover it. And he's a Russian national and he had his throat cut. All right. And then we go back and like right before the Burning Man began, but a couple of days after the BlackRock CEO took over the World Economic Forum, the big story in the news, do you remember about that Ukrainian girl who got stabbed in the neck in Charlotte?
No.
So these are the biggest news stories, and good for you for not knowing this. So I'm going to just like let you know, if you watch CNN, if CNN was how you understood reality, for a week, all you were told was this horrible murder of this like beautiful 22-year-old Ukrainian refugee who was riding the subway in Charlotte, and they have it all on camera. They have it all on camera where this dude stands up behind her and just stabs her in the neck. And like the whole world is outraged. And then the next outrage is like with the Burning Man guy who has then his throat cut. So stabbing the neck, throat cut. And then it peaks with Charlie Church and his neck shot. So now we're beginning to start to see like some of this like, okay, like there is a structure, at least in the story, that is being pumped into the mind. And this is the thing which you need to realize. The stories in the mind are more important than whether it happened or not. And the stories in the mind are more important than whether they're an accurate description of what happened or not. Because whatever is held in the nervous system is felt as equally true. That's why your heart beats when you watch a movie that's suspenseful, because there's a part of you that doesn't recognize the difference between Jason actually chasing you in the woods and like, no, I'm just watching a movie of being chased in the woods. That is part and parcel of how this realm works. And so, again, the only thing that we can really stand upon is like, how does it work? We don't know where this place is, and we can see like we don't know who's orchestrating or what's orchestrating the other side, but we can recognize how it communicates, and we could recognize why it communicates would matter, and we could recognize what different stories do to us as individuals.
Well, and yeah, I mean, that's part of the joy and the toll of doing this podcast is learning about this stuff on the show, you know, because I am so tapped out of the media at this point that, yeah, those three stories, as you lay them out, it makes total sense from this perspective. But if I had learned all that from CNN and then had to, you know, rewire it according to what you just said, it's like, oh, I could see how there's narratives being crafted here and people's attention being farmed towards certain objectives. And yeah, it seems like that was the symbolic focus of the time that we're in. And what is
it? That's how it's always been. It's always been this way. It's always been this manipulation, like the JFK assassination. I mean, this is why I think it's so freaking crazy. So JFK assassination, if you could go back in time and imagine, you know, being a teenager in 1963, you're like a baby boomer, you're 16 years old, TVs are just becoming like more and more normalized in everyone's home. There's not even color TV yet, or at least I don't think it was. And then JFK, who was sold to the American population and who the young people loved, they showed his head being blown off. Actually, no, I don't think it was until they released the Zapruder film that they showed the head being blown off. But like that became the story, and it traumatized a culture like you can't imagine.
I think it was Geraldo who revealed the Zapruder film, wasn't it? Geraldo or one of those like daytime.
That would be interesting. I thought that the Zapruder film was released in like the 70s or in the late 60s, but I could be wrong.
It was after. The
Right. So the shooting was 63. I thought that was released in 68 or between 68 and 73. But regardless, at the time of the JFK assassination, there was a shock. There was a collective and a personal shock on a level which had not been experienced before. Like, this is part of like what the modus operandi is. Like, I'm bringing this up, like saying what's happening now has been at least happening. I'll bring it back to the JFK story, because that was when TV first became very, very commonplace. So this is what happened then. That happened in November. And then in the following February is when Beatlemania occurred. Like, if you're familiar with the story of the Beatles coming to America and playing in Shea Stadium, and all the people were like standing at the airport waiting for them to arrive. Like, that's a made up story, or it was a press release story. They paid people who didn't know who the Beatles were, and they filmed them to come off the airplane, and they pumped that out. And then the Beatles hit the same generation that was just traumatized in a way that they've never been trauma before. And this is all the baby boomers. So all the millennials who hate the baby boomers go back in time to when the baby boomers were teenagers. And this is how they all got fucked. And so what happened was they were traumatized with JFK, and they were able to sit in that trauma. So they got traumatized in JFK right before Thanksgiving, and then they get to go through Christmas, New Year's with all of the woo, woo, and then they were given the gift of like the soothing Beatles. They did the same thing with 9/11. Little bit different in terms of the timeline, because 9/11 hit in September, but then I think it was like November 1. Because 9/11, when that hit, that created an emotional jarring and trauma which no one had ever seen. And they fucked that culture or that generation this way by Y2K. They pumped everyone for Y2K for 10 years that the entire world was going to shut down on January 1st, 2000, and then nothing happened. So there was like build up, nothing. Whole friggin' world gets blue balls for a year and a half. And then when no one saw it coming, they sucker punched them with 9/11. No one saw that coming. And they're traumatized. Everyone was traumatized, didn't know what to do. And then 6 weeks later, they gave them the iPod. Same idea. Popular music. Music in order to, like, you know what popular music is. You know how engineered it is. You know how Tavistock it is.
Do you remember the whole thing with the iPod 2? With not iPod 2, but as well, that whole thing with the iPod. Do you remember like the commercial and the band that they used to promote you?
When it first came out? That I don't. But what I do have, and I want to hear that because it's going to be funny for me to hear that. I have a picture. I turned 30 on December 2nd, 2001. And there's a picture of me in the way I used to live. I used to live in Washington, D.C., and I used to work in the technology industry. I used to have a real good job in the technology industry. And I'm holding a first generation iPod that was given to me on my 30th birthday right after it released. Like, I used to be like that early adopter. So right. I don't remember seeing the commercial, but I guaranteed I must have been moved by it, because that's something which I wanted to have for my 30th birthday. Right. Now, do you remember? Can you tell me what that commercial was?
So the commercial, if I'm remembering correctly, was like, it was like two colors, and it was like a person silhouette, like dancing with an iPod in their hand, and you can see like the earbuds connecting from their head to their hand where they're holding the iPod. But it was just a silhouette on like a bright colored background, and they had different versions of the commercial. But I remember as a kid seeing that commercial anytime an iPod came out, and then it was like their classic throwback commercial. But I'm almost certain it was either U2 or the Beatles that came preloaded onto your iPod when you bought an iPod. I'm pretty sure it was like one song by U2, and then like the Beatles was like the Apple had some kind of deal with them where they had all their music cataloged through iTunes, and that was a big deal because, you know, the Beatles catalog was owned by Michael Jackson or something like that. So it was a whole like thing about getting the Beatles on iTunes.
Exactly. Like, and that, and if it was the Beatles, that would make perfect sense. Protect, right. Particularly in the narrative I just shared with you, is like the weaving together, the continuity of the same players as the medium changes.
Yeah.
As the medium changes, because that's what the last 75 years has been with technology, is the slow change of the medium. Get a generation accustomed to this medium and then slowly change it to the next medium and the next medium, because if you jump too far ahead, like, it just doesn't make sense. So again, that brings us back to, like, this is where we are right now. And with all of the changes, like Austin Powers, just as you said, like looking at how it begins right there. Austin Powers is about the relationship of the intelligence agencies or the intelligence community. And as you said, like, is Charlie Church, like, does this go back to the same thing which they said about 9/11? Like, you know, the intelligence communities ran that. The intelligence communities ran, like, JFK. The intelligence communities are behind there, behind, like, everything of mystical sort of cultural event. And Hollywood, which is another intelligence agency outlet, is like, oh yeah, the intelligence agencies are always the good guys and the bad guys. So that being said, do you know where the band U2 got its name?
From the, isn't that like a type of military classification for like a plane or something?
Yeah, U2? Well, it's not just a military, it's called a spy plane.
Right.
So in the 1950s, during the Cold War, the Russians shot down a spy plane, a U.S. spy plane, a U-2 U.S. spy plane over, like, Russia. And they captured the guy who was flying the spy plane, and he became a national symbol, right? Because it's really important that national symbols are told in the stories. And do you know what that guy's name was?
No.
Gary Powers. Austin Powers, like Mike Myers, like U2, like it doesn't matter like how you look, like, you know, Charlie Kirk or Charlie Church or 33 and all, it's all there. It's like, you know, yes, it's all connected, and there's a seemingly mockingness that's happening. And the real question, the only real question an individual can ask, at least in my opinion, is like, well, how do I meet this? I mean, if that's all bullshit, does that make me bullshit? Does that mean that, like, you know, I'm not, does that mean like what I feel, think, and want to experience is bullshit? No, not at all. But what it does mean is, like, how do you want to go and meet this experience? Particularly once you've been through that process and you've seen that this is how the world works. Like, if we would have had this conversation to a typical person in 2001 about, like, conspiracy and manipulation of movies and Hollywood and blah, like, no, it would have gotten no traction. The world, the consciousness, the typical average consciousness of a person was not capable of receiving this information. They would reject it. It wouldn't make sense. But, like, nowadays, because everyone has just gone through so much shit for 30 years, whether that be like 2012 or Sandy Hook or whatever the latest greatest was, like, now we're at a place. Now there's enough critical mass. Now there's enough people that are like, okay, I can at least get what you're laying down, that we can begin to, like, ask new questions or maybe experience something new. And what, to me, that question is, and what that experience is, like, well, how do you meet that differently? What do I do now that I know that this is how it works?
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I mean, I think I'm kind of living a life where those things don't affect me. I mean, I did overhear some conversations as I was socializing at the bar that were disturbing, and, you know, Charlie Church was not somebody I followed, but I have friends who know him and met him. And so it's definitely close to home in the sense that, you know, anybody could be, unfortunately, you know, affected like he was, just for disagreements, debates, you know, differing opinions. I mean, the fact that we...
Let's throw all that away.
Yeah.
We don't even know if Charlie Church took place. We don't know if he's real. We don't know if it's fake. You can't put any emotion there if you are able to recognize that this isn't what it seems and everything could theoretically fall apart. The only thing that matters is how do you handle yourself, Mark?
Yeah.
Like you can see like, oh, I can see this is important to my brother-in-law and I really care about my brother-in-law and I could see this and maybe this might lead to like a civil war. That we have no control over that. Now, like when I'm saying we, I'm talking about anyone who is capable of recognizing the fact that the only thing that really matters, like I can see that happens, like I can't hide from it, but what I can do is like is recognize like how do I navigate it? How do I hold myself? And even more realistically, like how do I meet what's coming, the unexpected future? And that's primarily going to be expressed through like new technologies and new ways. But it doesn't have to be because this is all built upon getting people to suck into a specific narrative to go along with it. It's what COVID did. At one level, it just got everyone to use QR codes when they're trying for 15 years to get people to use QR codes and no one would use them. So we're just about at 1 hour, Mark, and I need to start to wrap up because the next layer of the dream is calling me. I talked about this in the past, and I've taught a course called Grounding Consciousness, and that was me learning the process of giving the tools of how someone begins in consciousness of being able to navigate reality, to be able to understand what is dream, what's not dream, in order to have like a different type of relationship. This doesn't solve any questions because we don't know what the big questions or the big mystery is, but these were tools in terms of how to navigate. I've taken that content, which you actually participated in, Mark, because you've taken one of the four times I've taught the course, and I have turned that into something. Like I did this in the last 4 weeks before any of the Charlie Church stuff, is I took all of those materials of the recordings of what we taught online and I made it accessible because it wasn't really accessible before because it would be like 2 hours of just brain dump information. And I've taken it and I've polished it and I've cut it up and I sliced it up. So now there's 27 easy to digest modules of 5 to 20 minutes long, amazing visuals. And it's called Grounding Consciousness. So I told the stories today because I wanted to create in the minds and in the ears of the listeners, like there are ways of meeting this, which is fucking as real as it's going to be. I'm not telling anyone any like hidden secrets of the universe. I'm telling you, this is how this realm works and this is how you can meet it because it's going to get weirder and weirder, but it also has the potentiality to become more and more fun. And the last thing I want to say before I tell people how they can get this is, Mark, I think that anyone who's been following your journey over the past 6 months can see like the potentiality in real world change of like what things look like when you begin to be moved by life itself. Like you're making bags now, you're making handbags for the brunch crowd and you're having fun with it. And you're like showing up and you look different and you're meeting like the way you're interacting with people are different. Like this is not a doom and gloom time. This is like a shakeup time. And if you don't know how to meet the shakeup, or if you want to learn how to like better be able to move in rhythm and what rhythms you want to move with, that's what the Grounding Consciousness modules are for.
Yeah.
So that's really what I wanted to talk about today.
Yeah.
That was my long game.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you what, Mike, I really appreciated the course that I took out of the four. So I'm excited to see where this content goes and how I can watch the highlights or the most important parts, the crash course, if you will. But yeah, it's something that, you know, around that same time, my life got flipped upside down in some pretty big ways, things that I've talked about on past episodes. And I know we're wrapping up, so I'll keep this brief, but I felt like the grounding consciousness course was, I mean, as everything has been, timed perfectly, you know, right, the way life goes. But we had a guest on the show. I can't remember if this was, I think it was after the grounding consciousness course, but she's, you know, an intuitive person. She's a healer and a seer. And she told me essentially that she saw like a, you know, this new frontier that I was about to be, you know, I was approaching, right? And this, like, what she envisioned, like a geyser or fountain of energy. So I'll tell you what, I feel that. And part of it is being grounded in the now and, you know, understanding where you are in the cycle. And a big part of it for me has become the moon. And I'll notice at times, you know, the rhythm of things happening in pace with the moon and just the events of my life over the past few months. As I've kept track of what's been going on, I can see the ebbs and flows, and they definitely, you know, and that's thanks to taking your course. So yeah, big recommendation from me for anyone listening who loves your work. Obviously, you're a staple on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast and a big part of my journey to become the podcaster that I am now. So big thanks to you, Mike. We can't praise you enough here on the show. And
you don't need to praise me, but well, what you do need to do is listen, is to get the grounding consciousness, because I didn't do this for me, is what I'm saying. And I tried it first with the big groups, and I learned what worked and didn't work. And what I did is I've made this for mass consumption. Like, whether you love Mike's work or not, it doesn't matter. Like, this is actual understanding of how consciousness works, and then understanding the difference between real time and false time in order to become in time. This is all, like, this is as important as understanding when trash day is in your neighborhood. Like, this is the way reality in this realm and this realm works. And so what I'd like to do, Mark, is I'll include with you the link for where people can get this. And I've shown it a variety of different ways. You get the whole class, or you could go a couple different modules. But this is what all of the work that I've been doing has led to at this time. So with that being said, like, I really appreciate the audience. And I'm speaking really strongly right now, because I know only those who would still be at 1 hour and 8 minutes are those that this does resonate with. So if you're listening to this and you stuck around that far, it's like there's something in there for you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And we have the diehards who love the show and listen every episode till
excellent.
The end. So
excellent.
Big shout out to all of them. And thanks again, Mike, for joining me. Thoughts and prayers to the Dream World, Charlie Church, and, you know, all that good stuff. Yeah, one thing I wanted to point out, which kind of shocked me, is Charlie Church and I are exactly 1 year and 3 days apart. He is 1 year and 3 days older than me. So
that's fucking nuts, Mark.
Yeah, and we're both tall, handsome guys. So we're both Libras, you know, so it just made me think twice about my future as a public orator. So, you know, I'm glad I'm getting into clothes and garments, because that keeps me behind the scenes and, you know, helping my audience stay well-dressed. Ladies and gentlemen, check out the merch. You know, if you want to get laid, we can help you with that. Until next episode, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that does it for today's episode. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you to everybody supporting the show on Patreon and Substack. You are all amazing. I could not do it without you. Everybody go and check out the new merch, handmade by yours truly. I don't have that many Washington, D.C. 1888 map shirts left, and I am not going to be
creating many more What List Epstein shirts. So if you'd like to buy some of this run of merch, some of these designs, they will be unavailable by October. So now's your chance. If you want to get the What List Epstein shirt, or you want to get the DC 1888 map shirt, now's your only chance. So hook it up, go over to the merch store. The merch link is in the episode description, but it's also in my bio on the Instagram at My Family Thinks I'm Crazy. If you're not already following us on Instagram, what are you waiting for? I'm always posting interesting stuff there, and whether it's my story or posts or going live and singing in my car, I'm always doing something interesting. The singing in the car, not the most interesting thing I do, and probably not something I'm going to keep doing. But if you want to catch that while it's still around, at My Family Thinks I'm Crazy on Instagram. And I'm not kidding, folks. If you want to look good, dress well with the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy merch, this is not cheap merch. It looks cool. It's a statement piece. And whether people know about the podcast or not, they are going to be asking you about your shirt, where you got it, and complimenting you on it. Trust me, the results are in. I've been walking around wearing these shirts and people love them. So, and it's not just me, it's you too. So wherever you are, pick up a shirt and we'll catch you on the next episode. Until then, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.